Footsteps approach the bed. She cowers under the covers, clutching the doll she got from her Sunday school teacher back in December, along with some candy canes and homemade doll clothes and a little plastic ornament of the baby Jesus. She tried to hand that back.
We don't have a Christmas tree. Mommy hates Christmas.
Keep it, sugar. Remember, he is always with you. Plastic baby Jesus is tucked under her pillow, sleeping so peacefully.
Please keep me safe,
she tells him, clutching the doll, who's wearing a pretty blue dress with ruffles tonight. Her name used to be Chatty Cathy. The girl renamed her Georgie Girl after Daddy and that song Mommy liked to hear on the radio before she started turning sad and scary. If you pull a ring on Georgie Girl's back, she says things like, tell me a story, and let's play house. The girl never tires of pulling the cord. It's extended in her hand right now, frozen in place as the footsteps stop by the bed. Georgie Girl is silent. Mommy is muttering. The little girl keeps her eyes squeezed shut, thinking of Jesus. Plastic Jesus. Real Jesus.
Please don't let her hurt me this time.
Don't you just lie around here. Come on.
Mommy yanks off the covers, wrenches the doll from her hands, and hurdles it across the room. The cord winds down.
I love you.
The doll hits the wall and drops to the floor, shattering the sweet, familiar phrase.
No, Georgie girl, shut up.
Something glows in the darkness. The tip of a cigarette? It bobs around as Mommy waves her hand, shouting,
it's laundry day. Get up and help me. Do you hear me?
Hot tears spill over. It isn't day, Mommy. It's nighttime. Please,
don't you sass, young lady.
I'm sorry. Please.
Her mother pulls her up by her hair. The little girl's tears sizzle, and her right cheek explodes in searing pain, burned by the thing in her mother's hand. Not the tip of a cigarette, but the red indicator light of an electric iron. According to its cornerstone, freed slaves built the Park Baptist Church of Harlem precisely 100 years ago. According to Marceline LeBlanc, the Gullah Geechee priestess who recently moved into an apartment two blocks up and around the corner on 129th Street, the church is haunted as a Lowcountry graveyard at midnight.
It's built on a burial ground,
she told Cavan Crenshaw in her Creole patois the first time they met, deep crow's feet crinkling her narrowed black eyes.
Old bones there. How do you know that? I know. I feel it. Here.
Her bony fingertips staccatoed her temple between a swath of purple turban and wide earrings that jangled like wind chimes.
Spirits are vengeful.
Ms. LeBlanc, Calvin decided, was full of bull. Maybe full of the devil, too. Yet she's oddly unavoidable, even in a city populated by millions. Like an alley cat he once made the mistake of feeding, she seems to be everywhere he goes, lurking, prowling, staring. Yesterday morning at this hour, she sprang from murky shadows and scared the bejesus out of him. He was climbing the wide stone steps into the church. She was coming from God knows where. Not the butcher shop at 5 a.m., though she carried a small brown paper parcel oozing what appeared to be
blood.
He might have been wrong, but it sure did look like blood. She stood on a patch of sidewalk just beyond the streetlight's yellow glow, barefoot on cracked concrete littered with beer bottle caps, saliva-scummed cigarette butts, ant-infested food wrappers, and worse.
Moon is full,
she said, pointing toward it, high above the church spire.
Dangerous to go in alone. It's my job to clean the place. Some stains you cannot scrub away.
He shrugged off the cryptic remark and left her there, unlocking the door with his janitor's key ring, and then locking it again behind him, just in case.